He became sin who knew no sin, that he might become its righteousness. He humbled himself, he carried the cross. That's so amazing. That's so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. Oh, it trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. The hope is in you, all I hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world, the Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. The food, Lord,
I believe Jesus is going to inhabit his praises today.
Amen.
Yes. Well, the story is told that in the late 1800s, a group of European pastors attended D.L. Moody's Bible Conference in Massachusetts. Following their custom, they put their shoes outside their room before they slept, expecting them to be cleaned by the hotel workers. Unfortunately, their custom was not practiced here in America. So what happened to the shoes? Well, when Moody saw the shoes, he mentioned the need to others because he knew their custom. But he was met with silence. So Moody collected all the shoes and cleaned them himself. A friend who made an unexpected visit to his room revealed what Moody had done. The word spread, and the next few nights, others took turns doing the cleaning. So the shoes were not stolen. You see, Moody's leadership style of humility inspired others to follow his example. Moody set aside his pride not only to serve others, but also to set an example for others to follow. This story reminds me of a man of influence who also set aside his pride to seek Jesus' help in a very difficult and desperate time of his life and received a blessing of a lifetime. A blessing of having his daughter raised up from the dead. A blessing that only a few people in the Bible can speak of having or experiencing in their lives. So this brings me to the main idea, or the heart of the message God has given me from his word to deliver to you today at this urgent hour. Please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is ready and resolved to plant the seed of God's eternal and enduring truth in order to change genuine believers more and more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, and to also convict unbelievers of their sin, of unbelief, leading them into a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. So here then is our message in a nutshell. Would you please listen attentively to it with an open heart and an open mind? Listen, Jesus responds to the humble of heart, and even does the impossible in their lives and circumstances. I repeat that because it's critical. Jesus responds to the humble of heart. As I speak this, think of your heart. Will you call yourself the humble of heart? Think of that as you listen to this message. So Jesus responds to the humble of heart and even does the impossible in their lives and circumstances. Folks, friends, and those of you who are faithful followers of Jesus Christ and fellow believers in the family of God, our gospel story is going to make it very clear to us today that Jesus can and is more than able to make a difference when it seems too late for anyone else to help. But the question is, do you believe Jesus can do that in your life and present circumstance? Will you be willing to set aside your pride and seek Jesus' help in all honesty and humility of heart? Well, please, if you have your Bibles today, turn them to Matthew chapter 9, verse 18 to 19, and then also verse 23 to 26. Will you please listen carefully as I recite this passage from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of the Bible. My sister bought me a new one, but I haven't started using it yet. So, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, while he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before Jesus, and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." Verse 23, when Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, he said, "Leave, for the girl has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. This news spread throughout all that land. This is the word of the Lord to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading or recital of his holy word. Thank you. I'm starting to sweat. Because there's no fan here. Matthew tells this story much more briefly than the other gospel writers do. If we want further details of this story, we must read it in Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 43, and in Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to 56. There we will discover that the ruler's name was Jairus, a name which means he will enlighten. He has a beautiful name given to him by his parents. I believe his life will enlighten you and I today. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue that Jesus once visited, or many times. Actually, the ruler's story and that of the woman suffering from hemorrhage, which I didn't recite for you, were put together by Matthew under the leading of the Holy Spirit, because both of these people were in desperate situations. Both of them demonstrated faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and both of them were responded to by Jesus Christ. So I tell you, friends, their stories were recorded to encourage us to seek Jesus as they sought him in their desperate situations. If you are not in a desperate situation today, please don't close your heart to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you tonight. Why? Because sooner or later, you will be facing desperate, distressful, difficult circumstances, even if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says, in this world, to his believers, you face tribulations. Now, as we dig deeper into this story to discover the precious lessons the Holy Spirit is so enthused to teach us, will you please notice the first lesson he wants to impress upon your heart and my heart? He directs us, or he directs our attention to the request of a ruler in verse 18. Now, the Bible's description of the request of Jairus is so simple and yet so significant. The request of the ruler actually shows us that Jesus, the King of the universe, the Lord of the universe, the great I am, is actually approachable, available, and accessible to all who venture to come to him. The Bible says, while he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, "My daughter has just died. But come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." According to Luke's account, this man had only one child. In Luke chapter 8, verse 42, and she was 12 years old. So she's lived with her father for 12 years, and now death took her life. He had no other offspring. Now, someone says, what's there to learn from his request? Well, I'm so glad you've asked. Please, there are two significant lessons to learn from the ruler's request. First of all, we learn of his reverence for Jesus. Everyone says, reverence for Jesus. Do you show it in your life? Do you show it in your life? You see, the ruler's reverence or respect or high regard for the person of the Lord Jesus was demonstrated in an attitude of humility. Though Jairus was a Jew, a ruler of a synagogue, a man of considerable influence, he humbled himself and prostrated himself before Jesus Christ while presenting his request to him. His bowing down before Jesus indicates his deep reverence for Jesus, his deep courtesy towards Jesus. It is a pleading homage before someone in a position to grant favor. Now you have to understand how important this man is. The ruler of the synagogue was a very important person. But you say, how do you know that? Well, here's how I know. This man was elected from among the elders. He was not a teaching or preaching official, but he had the care of the external order in public worship in the synagogue and the supervision of the concerns of the synagogue in general. He appointed those who were to read and pray in the service in the synagogue. And he is the one who invited those who were to preach. It was his duty to see that nothing unfitting took place within the synagogue. Also, the care of the synagogue buildings was in his oversight. The whole practical administration of the synagogue was in his hands. I don't know if any of you have visited a synagogue here in Denver. You see that it is not a place that is just things just happen. Somebody is in charge that directs things to be done in an orderly fashion. So if you please, this ruler was the GM or the CEO of the synagogue. He was an influential and important man. It is clear that such a man will come to Jesus only as a last resort. It was only when everything else had failed that he turned in desperation to Jesus. Yes, he turned to Jesus in desperation, but he did so with all reverence for Jesus. Moreover, I want you to think back to Nicodemus. Unlike Nicodemus, who came to Jesus under the cover of darkness, Jairus came to Jesus in the daytime, even with crowds surrounding the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you folks, it was exceptional that Jairus should seek help from Jesus at this time in his life. You see, most of the Jewish leaders would have feared the scorn and contempt of their associates. That was one reason that Nicodemus chose to go to Jesus in the night. But this man said, I'm going right now, right at this time, when I need help the most. But do you know why the ruler came to Jesus at this time of the day? Well, that's a good answer, but let me tell you the root of the problem that he set aside to be able to approach Jesus. Jairus came to a point in his life when he said to himself, pride, I'm parting with you today. Pride, I'm putting you aside today. Pride, I'm pushing you out of my life today. Pride, oh pride. You have no place in my heart today. I don't care what others say of me today. I don't care what others think of me today. He says, I'm setting my pride aside, and in all reverence and humility of heart, I will make my request known to Jesus, even though I know other rulers will treat me with scorn. I will not let pride rob me of the blessings Jesus is willing to bestow on me today.
Amen.
You see, Jairus knew that pride blocks you and I from receiving God's best, God's blessings, God's bounties and benefits for us. My friend, what about you today? Have you come to that point where you too can say in all honesty and humility of heart, pride, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm parting with you today. Pride, you have no place in my heart today.
Yes.
Pride, I will not let you rob me of the blessings yes. Jesus is desiring to bestow on me today. Pride, I'm setting you aside today in order to make the request of my desperate situation known to Jesus. My friend, if the Holy Spirit brings you to the place of setting aside your pride and reverently and humbly approaching Jesus in your need, I believe, listen, good things, not only good things, but great things, not only great things, but glorious things will happen in your life and in your circumstances. Why? The Bible says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is what we see. This divine principle is so vividly illustrated in this story. Folks, if you want to experience the supernatural working of Jesus in your life today, and in your circumstance, however desperate it is, then you also must set aside your pride. Remember the hymn we sang. It says, I pour contempt on all my pride. You have to come to that point, and I have to come to that point of pouring contempt on all my pride. Then watch Jesus begin to move in to do even the impossible in your life to the praise of His glory. As I'm speaking, some of you are saying, well, I'm not an influential man, or I'm not an influential woman, therefore I don't have a problem of pride. May I say to you, common people like you and me also struggle with the problem of pride. And so we have to come to that point of saying, pride, I'm parting with you today from my life. Now the second lesson we learn from this request of the ruler is his resolute faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone says, resolute faith in Jesus. Do you have it? Yeah, in Jesus Christ. Do you have it? Well, Jairus made his request in simple, sincere, resolute faith in Jesus. You say, how do you know that? While bowing before Jesus, he says, my daughter has just died. But come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Notice, he didn't say, my daughter has just died, so please come and attend her funeral service. Or come and help us make arrangements for her memorial service.
Now,
you know, and I know that when people die, family members begin to do what? Make plans for memorial service. Invite people. But this man says, I'm not asking for Jesus to come and help me plan a memorial service for my daughter, but I'm calling Jesus to raise my daughter up.
Yes, yes.
Rather, he says, but come, lay your hand on her, and she will live. He uses the language of certainty. She will live. What confidence in Jesus. What conviction of heart in Jesus. That, I tell you, friends, is resolute faith. It's true faith. It's unshakable faith in Jesus Christ. You see, Jairus felt Jesus' touch had special and supernatural power to produce a desired result and make a difference when it seems too late for anyone else to help. What about you today, my friend? Do you bring your problems to Jesus with simple, sincere, resolute faith in Him? Thank you. Do you bring your requests to Jesus with absolute certainty and confidence in Him and in His ability to make a difference in your life and your circumstances when it seems too late for anyone else to help? Or do you just go through the motions when you present your requests and problems to Jesus? Remember this, my friend. Jesus will not refuse you even if you come to Him with a faith as small as a mustard seed. Now, will you please notice what the Bible teaches us about the response of Jesus to a ruler's request in verse 19. The Bible says, God honors those who honor Him. Have you experienced that in your life? Well, we are going to see a man who experienced that divine principle in his life. God honors those who honor Him. We see this biblical teaching vividly on display in this gospel story. Jesus is about to honor Jairus for his reverence for him and his resolute faith in him. The Bible says Jesus got up. Imagine that. Jesus got up and began to follow him. And so did his disciples. This is a profound response from Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord of the universe, the ruler and redeemer of the church. You see, Jesus could have said to the ruler, listen carefully now. Jesus could have said to the ruler, when things were going well with you, you didn't want anything to do with me. But now that things are going ill for you, you are appealing for my help. I have every right to refuse help to a man like you who comes only to me as a last resort. But Jesus didn't say that. The Bible says he got up. Meaning in this context that Jesus actually rose from reclining at table. And the Bible says, that's not all. But the Bible says, Jesus began to follow him. Can you imagine that? Normally in the Bible, we read of people, or the crowd, or the multitudes, or the masses, following Jesus, wherever he goes. But here is the only time, and the first time, in the Bible that we read of Jesus following someone in response to his request. Because Jesus honors those who honor him. Amen. Please understand, I'm not teaching that Jesus became a follower of Jairus. That's not what I'm teaching. Far be it from me to teach such a thing. But you ask, what's your point of emphasizing that Jesus actually rose and followed this man? Well, please listen carefully now. Here's my point. And I hope it encourages you. Because it encourages me. Here was a man, listen, who needed Jesus. And Jesus' one desire was to help. To the point that he, the Holy One of God, the hope of Israel, the healer, the helper, arose from where he was and went with the ruler of the synagogue to his house and then raised his only daughter from the dead. I tell you folks, Jesus responds to the humble of heart, and even does the impossible in their lives and circumstances.
Thank you.
Jesus can make a difference when it seems too late for anyone else to help. Jesus can bring healing to broken relationships. He can bring healing to emotional scars.
Amen.
Release people from addicting habits. Please, if your situation looks hopeless today, remember that Jesus can do the impossible in your life. Because the Bible tells us He specializes in doing the impossible. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, as I close with this message, I plead with you today to set aside your pride and seek Jesus' help for your circumstance and for your life. Come to Jesus today in all reverence, as the ruler did. Hey, please. Do you show any respect to Jesus?
Amen.
Commit your life and your situation to Him as the ruler did. And call on Jesus in faith as the ruler did by telling Him, my life is not what it should be. Honestly, it's messed up. My situation is hopeless. But come and lay your hand upon my life and my situation and make the difference you alone can make in my life and situation for your glory and for your praise. Please, you can come forward and say that to Jesus on your knees, just like the ruler did. Well, we want to pray with you, but you can also talk directly with Jesus. Whatever your circumstance as a believer, you say, Jesus, I'm coming to you today. I'm putting my situation in your hands. I want you to make that difference only you can make for me, for your glory, and for my good. Now, if you are not a born-again Christian, may I say to you that, humanly speaking, the sin of pride is robbing you from receiving the gift of salvation. You must also set aside your pride. How? Acknowledge to Jesus today that you are a sinner headed to hell if you were to die today in your sins. Admit to Jesus today that you cannot save yourself even if you lived 1,000 lifetimes. And accept Jesus' free and full offer of forgiveness for your sins on the basis of what He did on the cross. His death on the cross. And His resurrection from the dead on the third day. And the Bible says what? You will be saved and become a new creation. I will come to Jesus and put my situation and my circumstances to Him. So I'm not preaching to you. If you care to respond, fine. If you don't care, I'm talking to Jesus myself. You have the privilege to lay your burden at the feet of Jesus, and you can go with them if you choose. But Jesus will touch those who honor Him with a humble heart. So that's my message to you.